Prabhupada Ki, Shri Bhakti Vedanta Ki, Grantaraj, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki, Giridas Maharaj Ki, Jayantai Gopremanandi. So tonight we'll begin chapter 19 of the ninth canto, and we'll go from verses number 1 to 8. Tomorrow night we'll go another 10 verses or so into the chapter. What is the name of this chapter? Kinyati achieves liberation. So very pertinent instructions to all of us as grihasthas, as householders. So we'll hear about the instructions which are given by Maharaja Yati. Shukadev Goswami said, O Maharaj Parikshit, Yayati was very much attached to women. In due course of time, however, when disgusted with sexual enjoyment and its bad effects, he renounced this way of life and narrated the following story to his beloved wife. So, it is described by Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur in his commentary. Prabhupada doesn't give a commentary in the first verse, but Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur describes that he was very much attached, and because he was attached, then his attachment led him to feeling cheated by the material energy. So that is the natural conclusion or the natural result of becoming attached in the material world, and all of us become attached to the in the material world to something false. That is called Maya. Maya means attachment or illusion. So each one of us becomes attached, and then the nature of attachment is it will lead to dissatisfaction, and the nature of dissatisfaction, once you become dissatisfied, you feel like you've been cheated. So Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says that Maharaja Yati feels that he has been cheated after becoming falsely attached in this material world to material energy. So now he will give us instructions on the nature of attachment in this material. My dearly beloved wife, daughter of Shukracharya, in this world there was someone exactly like me. Please listen as I narrate the history of his life. By hearing about the life of such a householder, those who have retired from household life always lament.
Person who lived in the village or town are called Grama Nivasi, and those who live in the forest are called Vanavasi or Vanaprastas. The Vanaprastas who have retired from family life generally lament about their past family life because it engaged them in trying to fulfill lusty desires. Prakalap Maharaj said that one should retire from family life as soon as possible. He described family life as the darkest well. Hitvatma Pada, Braham, Andar Kupam. If one continuously or permanently concentrates on living with this family, he should be understood to be killing himself. In the Vedic civilization, therefore, it is recommended that one retire from family life at the end of his 50th year and go to Vana, the forest. When he becomes expert, or accustomed to forest life or retired life as Vanaprastha, he should accept sannyasa. Vanam kadoyat tanim ashrayate. Sannyasa means accepting unalloyed engagement in the services of Lord. Vedic civilization therefore recommends four different stages of life: Brahmacharya, Grahastha, Vanaprastha and Sannyasa. One should be very much ashamed of remaining a householder and not promoting oneself to the two higher stages, namely Vanaprastha and Sannyasa.
A nice purpose in this section. What are the points here?
You're trying to fulfill your destiny all the time, even after 50.
Any other point?
there was this simple class in which the speaker was saying that you keep making plans that I will improve, I will improve my spiritual life. But he said that most of the devotees die without actually implementing those plans and advancing in their spiritual life. And he said because we don't become serious and we keep postponing those plans of, you know, today onwards I will improve this aspect of spiritual life or I will improve my sadhana, and then you just die with that, and then you come back again because you could not fulfill your spiritual goals in life. You could not reach that platform. And we were also talking about, like, you know, Maharaj mentioned over here about village life. So he was saying that actually people who live in the villages, he was talking about the bad effects, you know, these multiple desires that we get. So he was talking about the bad effects of depression. So he said a person who's living in a village, he's actually living contently with, you know, whatever means of survival he has in the village. But because now TV has been introduced and he is watching TV, and on the TV he is seeing, you know, big buildings in New York or some, you know, big cities, and then those desires are coming in his heart. Oh, I wish I was also living there. So he said a 15-minute TV show can actually create thousands of lifetimes for a person.
Really?
He said because anytime you desire really? Something, then you are actually creating one more lifetime for you.
So then you just get rid of your television. Wow.
That was such an eye-opening statement. Because he said that whenever you watch them, any desire, I remember Bhujan Prabhu was mentioning that.
But that means your kids are going to be alive for millions of lifetimes now. So then you completely failed as a parent in Krishna consciousness. They might even watch Batman. So. Yeah, it's true. It can be true.
Bhujan Prabhu was saying in one of the retreats, he said that even if you watch, an old person watches a young man running nicely, like a young boy, and even if he just gets that thought that, oh, wish, you know, how I used to run like this, or wish I could run, he said immediately that the soul that is a seed for a next lifetime. Because Krishna is so merciful, he immediately satisfies the desire. If you want to run well, okay, I'll give you one more time to run well.
Very scary. Mm-hmm. Any other points?
So Jimna's person also explained the same concept of 50 years, at the age of 50 years, you have to go to forest, retire the Shaman, promote to one.
How old do you know? 15 more years and you have to go to the forest. Like Muhammad Prabhu, he's over 70, he lives in the forest. So you have to go at the age of 50 straight to the forest. Any other points?
Either I will be called Maya Mrigam.
Means?
We are completely under the lusty desire.
So much under the lusty desire that you won't go to the forest. Even at the age of over 70. You're not in the forest.
Don't have to go to the forest.
Don't have to. Wow.
Yes, so in your household life, you get.
So Prabhupada is saying here that at the age of 50 you have to get serious about Krishna consciousness. Yeah. Actually the point is we should be serious about Krishna consciousness right now. Why wait till you're 50? We can be just serious now. And most of us are serious now. Yeah, when you're a kid. Yeah. Are your kids serious about Krishna consciousness? You don't know. You live with them but you don't know. Okay. Mysterious. So, we should become serious now, that's the point. But the kind of seriousness which has been spoken of means more serious. So the age of 50, which is fast approaching for myself and for many of us, then we should become very serious about Krishna consciousness. We should become more serious all the time. Whenever we get an opportunity, how do we become serious? Because we say all the time, I'll become more serious, I'll become more serious. But a lot of the time we go backwards. In Krishna consciousness, we say that I will become a more serious devotee, but then we don't see we're actually doing it. We make all sorts of plans to commit, but then we don't follow through with the plans. So many times, you know, we say I will do this, I will do that. Just like I was reading an article just before from Shivaram Swami, so he was encouraging all the devotees in ISKCON to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. But most devotees don't get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. But actually, that was Prabhupada's instruction. We should get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. We should chant and we should attend Mangalati, either in our home or like that. But most devotees don't do that. So, we make plans to become more serious, but most of the time we don't follow through. So, you don't become serious just by making plans and saying, I will do it, I'll become more serious, because we all do that all the time. You become more serious when you become inspired in Krishna consciousness and you gain enthusiasm. Enthusiasm is coming from Hladini Shakti. Hladini Shakti means the bliss potency. So when you become blissful in Krishna consciousness, then you become more serious. So whenever we feel that that bliss is coming and that taste is coming and we're feeling enthusiastic, then we have to run with that as far as we can. So in devotional service, whenever you get an opportunity, then take it. And then what happens is that when you get to the age of 50, if you haven't become serious enough, then you have to make mechanical arrangements. Or you have to arrange your life in such a way that you become more serious or you can devote more time to Krishna consciousness. So at the age of 50, we have to begin winding down our material life. But then we see in Kali Yuga, that doesn't always happen either. Some of my best friends who are devotees, they're having kids at the age of 48. First kid, 48. Or third kid, 48. Like that. Some of my very best friends having kids like at the age. So, we're supposed to be winding down at 50. Then you're not going to be winding down till 68. That's the way Kali Yuga works now. So the point is you have to become serious in Krishna consciousness. That's the point. So regardless if you have kids or you don't have kids or whether you're renounced or not renounced or whether you have time, you have to become serious in Krishna consciousness whenever you can. And take advantage at any time. If the opportunity is there, take advantage. Become serious in Krishna consciousness. And if that doesn't work, then at the age of 50, become very serious. And some devotees don't do that either. They get to the age of 50 and they don't become more serious. But we should at least. So, Prabhupada says that we have to develop a distaste for material life. Now, how do we develop a distaste for material life?
What
is that? Distaste or lose our taste. How do we lose our taste? What's that? Yeah, why does it automatically happen? Yeah, but why do we develop a distaste for material life? Yeah, because of the nature of the material energy. You will develop distaste, especially if you're a devotee, because Krishna's mercy comes in the form of suffering in the material world. When we suffer in the material world, that is Krishna's mercy, because he's making us become detached. And we need to become detached, because we'll never become detached by ourselves. We say all the time, I'll become detached, but we don't actually do it. So it's only when Krishna makes us suffer, then we become detached. So that is the nature of the material world. The nature of the material world is, it is distasteful. It is unpleasant. And that unpleasantness is an impetus for us to become more attached to Krishna. So actually a devotee welcomes these things. And we see in the first canto, Queen Kunti prays, let the suffering come again and again. That's advanced. It's not the level we're on. We cannot artificially say that. I can't say that. I don't pray to Krishna, let it come again and again. But when it does come, I try to understand this is Krishna's arrangement to bring me closer to him, to make me more detached, and to make me understand this material world is distasteful, and that I do want to advance in Krishna consciousness. So that is the nature of the material energy. So Prabhupada says in the purport, he says, we must engage in unalloyed devotional service. So at a certain point in your devotional life, it can be now, or you might have already done it, or you can wait till you're 50, or you can wait till you're 70. But Prabhupada says you have to perform unalloyed devotional service. And you have to analyze your own consciousness. How unalloyed is your bhakti? How much is it unmotivated and uninterrupted? Because I know for myself, my devotional service is very much based on external circumstances. If I have certain circumstances, I become more surrendered. When those circumstances disappear, then I become less surrendered. But devotional service is not about what happens externally. It means that ahoituki, apratihata, regardless of the situation we're in, we have the same intensity of devotional attitude towards Krishna. And ahoituki means unmotivated, unalloyed, Prabhupada says. We're just doing it for Krishna's pleasure. Sometimes we do it for Krishna's pleasure, but sometimes we don't do it just for Krishna's pleasure. Sometimes there are material reasons why we do our devotional service. So you have to analyze that in your own consciousness. So Prabhupada says eventually we have to become to the platform of unalloyed devotional service. We'll just do any service for Krishna anytime. Hands up if you'll do any service for Krishna anytime. Yeah, we don't. I don't just do any service anytime. You know, sometimes I see a service needs to be done, but then I think in my mind, do I want to do it? Is it the kind of service I like doing? How long will it take? Like that, you think so many things. But unalloyed devotional service means you'll just do any service for Krishna anytime. At least on Janmashtami, you should do that. If you can't do it the rest of the year, at least do it one day a year. Just do unalloyed devotional service as much as you can. Okay. Any points?
Is it necessary to take sannyas?
Prabhupada says in some purports, he says it is necessary. He says that. But we don't see many devotees doing it. So I would say it's not necessary. Because I don't think I will. I used to think I would. When I was a young devotee, I used to think I'll become a sannyasa. When I got married the first time, I thought I would become a sannyasi. And now that I'm married again, I'm 45, and I just got married again. So now I've given up any like desire or motivation or goal or plan to become a sannyasi. Previously, I thought, yeah, I'll become a sannyasi. But then when Krishna gave me the opportunity to take sannyas, I realized I wasn't qualified. So now I've given up my desire. So the desire I'm trying to cultivate is to become a pure devotee of Krishna. Yeah. But Prabhupada does say, he says everyone should take sannyas. But then I take that to mean instead of the formal ceremony of sannyas and carrying a danda and, you know, being called Maharaj, I take it to mean mind, body and words fully dedicated in Krishna's service. So technically that is sannyas. So we should at least all aspire to be like that. Because you don't see most of the devotees aren't taking sannyas in our movement. I mean, we only have 150 sannyasis in the whole movement. And I think how many, there's 75,000 devotees worldwide or something, initiated, something like that. 75,000 initiated devotees, something. I think that's the figure, something like that. And there's only like 150 sannyasis, so it's not like everyone's. I don't have any desire. I don't have any, how would you say it?
Aspiration.
Yeah, not like aspiration. Actually, I do have an aspiration to be a sannyasi, but I don't think I'll ever become qualified to be what we call a sannyasi in ISKCON. But my aspiration in this lifetime is to become a pure devotee of Krishna. So that's what I'm focusing on now, as opposed to the external sannyas ashram, which I don't think I'll ever fully become anyway.
That is most important, be a pure devotee.
That's everything. Yeah, that's everything, if you can do it. Both are difficult. Sannyas is difficult, pure devotee is difficult, so at least I'll try for pure devotee. Because sannyas, I don't think, at least for me, I don't think it will happen. Maybe it will happen, but I don't think so. Any other point? While wandering in the forest, eating to satisfy his senses, a he-goat by chance approached a well, in which he saw a she-goat standing helplessly, having fallen into it by the influence of the results of fruitive activities. So, Jagan Prabhu.
Here, Maharaj Yayati compares himself to a he-goat and Devayani to a she-goat and describes the nature of man and women. Like a he-goat, a man searches for sense gratification, wandering here and there, and a woman without the shelter of a man or husband is like a she-goat that has fallen into a well. Without being cared by a man, women cannot be happy. Indeed, she is just like a she-goat that has fallen into a well and is struggling for existence. Therefore, a woman must take shelter of her father, as Devayani did when under the care of Shukracharya, and then the father must give the daughter in charity to a suitable man or suitable man should help the woman by placing her under the care of her husband. This is shown vividly by the life of Devayani. When King Yayati delivered Devayani from the well, she felt great relief and requested Yayati to accept her as his wife. But when Maharaj Yayati accepted Devayani, he became too attached and had sex life not only with her but with others like Sharmishta. Yet still he was dissatisfied. Therefore, one should retire by force from such family life as Yayati's. When one is fully convinced of the degrading nature of the worldly family life, one should completely renounce this way of life, take sannyasa, and engage himself fully in the service of the Lord. Then one's life will be successful.
Any points?
Srila Prabhupada said retire by force.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you have to get to a point where if you're not naturally doing it, then you just have to
force
yourself. Otherwise, you'll just go on forever.
Will that work for you? By force, will it work? Because your senses are still wandering. So I think you will come by force.
Yeah, so Prabhupada says, he says, vanaprastha, then sannyas. So if you can't be sannyas, at least be vanaprastha. Vanaprastha means the husband and wife stay together. That's vanaprastha. They're still together. Sannyas means
separate.
Yeah. So if you can't do sannyas, then do vanaprastha. That's what I'm envisioning for myself. You know, vanaprastha. Not that I'll leave my wife, but I'll live a renounced life with her. Already I'm living a renounced life. So I've just become more renounced, more dedicated to Krishna, more dedicated to service, and more dedicated to preaching. But stay together. Any other point?
Women should take shelter, women protection basically. This has been hammered in this place as well, as we have seen in multiple places in Bhagavatam. And the other thing is, you should give the women as charity. The father should give us charity to husband, to a suitable person. We tell in Sanskrit as Kanyaka Dhan. So the very biggest Dhan is Kanyaka Dhan. So then he gets a lot of pious it is a Vedic injunction as such.
Yeah, we call it Kanyaka Dhan.
Any other point? So Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur explains in his commentary, what does the he-goat represent? What is the he-goat? In this analogy, there's the forest, the she-goat and the he-goat. So what is the he-goat?
Yayati.
What does the he-goat represent?
Uncontrolled senses.
Yeah, it represents us. That's what he says. The conditioned soul. We are the he-goat. You are a he-goat. Each one of us is a he-goat. Now what does the forest represent? Yeah, samsara. Samsara means repeated birth and death. So the he-goat is wandering in repeated birth and death. And then he comes across the she-goat. And what does the she-goat represent? Yeah, basically. basically the sense objects. Or, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, material happiness. The desire to be happy in this material world. So for a man, he thinks, I will find a wife or a woman, I will be happy. And a woman thinks, I will find a man, and I will be happy. So that is the nature of the material world. And as long as we're looking through the forest for a man or a woman, then we're stuck in the cycle of samsara, searching for material happiness. So how do we transcend this material world? The way that we transcend the material world is by giving up the desire for material happiness, giving up the desire to be separate from Krishna, to enjoy separately from Krishna. So Prabhupada says in the purport that the natural psychology of a woman is to be dependent. Now, in the modern world, women want to be independent. They don't want to get married. You see, even the devotee girls, they don't want, you speak to them, they're like 15, 16, 17, 18 year old girl, I don't want to get married. They say, some devoted girls have told me this, I want to get married when I'm about 30. I want to have a career and do something like that. So this is the nature. But actually you see that every woman is dependent by nature psychologically. So these days, the girls may not get married at the same age, but they will generally get married. That is the nature. And even though women like to be independent in this day and age, they're more happy and satisfied when they're in a stable relationship. So it means we can't push them. We can't say, okay, you have to get married when you're 18 and do all these things, because they may not want to. And they may not get married, till 25 or 30 these days. But still, it is their nature. They will be satisfied when they're dependent on another person. That's just the nature of female psychology. And when people do that, they'll be peaceful and happy. So then Prabhupada points out in the purport that a devotee accepts his position in this material world and then tries to lift himself up. So Yayati understands that he has material desires. So what did he do? Understanding he had material desires? He's a transcendentalist. This is what we must understand from the previous chapter. Yayati wants to go back to Godhead. But he understands, first of all, I have to satisfy my material desires. So then he asks his sons, please give me your youth. He didn't have the desire that I will just stay in the material world and just enjoy sense gratification forever. His desire was, eventually, I will renounce everything and go back to Krishna. So as we've said in the previous classes, you must, first of all, pass the water. Where is it going to? Okay. So, the nature of the material world is we must fulfill our material desires before we can transcend this material energy. But there is a danger, because we have to recognize that we have material desires, we have to try to fulfill them. But the danger is, when you try to fulfill them, you become attached to sense gratification. The nature of sense gratification, sex life, sense gratification, material enjoyment, is that the more you do it, the more you want it. And Prahlad Maharaj says this, it is like chewing the chewed, or he says it's like rubbing the itch to relieve the itch. So the Bhagavad Gita is saying, on one level, fulfill your material desires. On another level, it's saying, be very careful, because the more you do it, then the more you'll want to enjoy separately from Krishna. So it's a difficult situation. So Yayati, deep down, he just wants to renounce the material energy. So you have to become very expert. And you have to take guidance and shelter of very advanced devotees who can guide you in such a way that you satisfy your desires, become naturally detached, right, and ultimately surrender fully to Krishna. It's very difficult. The material world is a difficult place. We all know as devotees, we're trying sincerely to get to Krishna, but it's not easy. And Maya is in our own consciousness. Like I was speaking to one Prabhupada disciple a number of years ago, and he mainly lives in India and I live in the West. So I was saying to the devotee, his advanced devotee, I was saying, you know, Maya is everywhere in the West like that. And he said, but Maya is inside. He said, that is really where Maya is. That's the challenge. Because it's difficult as devotees. We want to become surrendered to Krishna. We're sincere in our devotional service, but there's so much material attachment in our consciousness. So gradually we have to purify ourselves of that, and that takes a lot of effort. I mean, you have to find the right balance, and that's not easy as well. So it's not easy to get back to Krishna, but we just try, and then eventually we'll get there. Prabhupada says that, try and try again. On the calendar, every day we turn over the calendar. In the morning I get up and I turn over the calendar, and Prabhupada, a few days ago on the calendar that I have, Prabhupada said, if you fail, try again. He said, failure is the pillar of success. So sometimes we fail, right? The Prabhupada says, keep trying. And my spiritual master, he gave me that instruction. He said, never give up in devotional service. Never give up. He told me that. He said, never give up. So sometimes I remember that. Sometimes I feel like completely despondent, too difficult. Sometimes I feel like, oh, it's too difficult. I just try, but it's too difficult. And then I remember my guru says, never give up. So you just keep trying, and eventually we'll get to Krishna. Krishna reciprocates. So, Prabhupada explains to us that detachment will develop naturally. And this is the philosophy of the Bhagavatam from the very beginning. Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita Janayat Yashu Vairagyam Jnanam Chayat Ahoitukam. Ahoitukam means causelessly. When you do devotional service, then detachment, Vairagya and Jnana automatically develop. So just by doing devotional service, we will become detached. So the best way to become detached is by doing bhakti, devotional service. And what is the best devotional service? Rishi, what is your favorite devotional service? What is your favorite? What do you like doing for Krishna the most?
What do you like doing for Krishna?
What is your favorite service? Quickly, I haven't got all day.
Come on, quick. Offer Krishna to you.
Offering? That's nice. To the deity at home? You like to do that? That's nice. Very good. Yeah, so by doing that service, offering prasad to Krishna, whatever your service is, then you develop detachment from this world. You become attached to Krishna. What's the best way to become attached to Krishna? Do devotional service. Yeah. Do the service that you like to do. Whatever you like to do, you do that for Krishna and you'll become detached from this material world, and one day you'll become a sannyasi. Rishi Maharaj Ki. And this is the system. That we just do the service that we like doing for Krishna and we become detached. One of my favorite services is attending Julan Yatra, which starts in 2 days. And for the first 3 days I can't come because I have to go to the farm. So. But then I'll come the last 2 days. But that's one of my favorite services. At least all of you can come. But do not miss it. Only a fool would miss it. I have to miss it because I have to go back there. So. But actually, I just want to stay here and do Julan Yatra. But I can't think of any excuse to do it. And if I do it, then Prabhupada said that is sense gratification. You have to do your service that the guru gives you. That's how you advance in Krishna consciousness. But actually, I just want to stay here at the temple. Okay. Any points?
In the translation.
Yeah.
It is having fallen into it by influence of his fruity, results of fruited activity.
Yeah.
So what activity she did?
What fruited activity did
she do?
What fruited activity did the she-goat do?
Yeah.
Only your wife could ask a question like that.
No, but we want to also know.
I have no idea. If you ask your wife, she will know the answer. Wait till you get home. She will know the answer to that one.
I thought she fell because somebody pushed her in. Some minister pushed her in. That's what I...
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not advanced enough to understand these things. But your wife will definitely understand. Any other point?
And the point of you were mentioning about how your Guru Maharaj said we should keep trying, even though there are failures, we should not be the failures. And the point which Prabhu was making, that we should keep trying in devotional life, there might be failures that we should not give up. So again, in the same lecture I was hearing, once Prabhupada asked one of his disciples, he was struggling with something, and Prabhupada asked that, what do you want to be? Do you want to be cat or do you want to be a monkey? He was asking one of the mothers, like she was looking after the child, and he said, what do you want to be in the spiritual life? So nobody understood, because it's the first time Prabhupada was making that philosophical point. And then Prabhupada said that a cat, he was talking about a mother looking after the child, and he said that a monkey does not make, a mother monkey does not make any endeavors to look after the child. It is up to the baby monkey to keep climbing on the mother's back and, you know, cling to the mother's back or to the mother's tummy to protect itself from falling out. But on the other hand, a cat takes all the endeavor. A kitten doesn't take any endeavor, but a cat takes all the endeavor to pick the kitten up in its mouth and move it from here and there and protect it and keep it in safe places. So Prabhupada said, what sort of mother do you want to be? He asked that Mataji disciple, and she said, yeah, I want to be like a cat. And Prabhupada said, yes, that is what is devotional service. But then Prabhupada also made a point that actually in devotional life we do both. That is what is balanced in devotional life. So on our part, we become like a cat, we become like a monkey, which is always trying to cling to Krishna and get protection, and then Krishna will act as the cat and give you protection. So he said it's a balance of both. We take our efforts and then we wait for Krishna to become like a cat.
Any other point? Okay. After planning how to get out, after planning how to get the she-goat out of the well, the lusty he-goat dug up the earth on the well's edge with the point of his horns in such a way that she was able to come out very easily.
Attraction for women is the impetus for economic development. Housing and many other things meant for living comfortably in this material world. Digging up the earth to make a way out for the she-goat was a laborious task, but before accepting the she-goat, the he-goat underwent this labor. Aho gaya kshetra, sutap vite janas vibho am mamina. The union between male and female provides the impetus for gaining a nice apartment, a good income, children and friends. Thus one becomes entangled in this material.
Okay, any points?
I'm just thinking, Babaji, in this so-called society outside, youths generally do a lot of endeavors to attract the women. Just for a few minutes of whatever pleasure, they undergo years things. So it's more or less the same thing, laborious work, just for a simple thing, few minutes of thing. Which you could see in this world as well.
Any other point?
Prabhupada says that if you have control over that one thing, sex desire, then you save yourself so much trouble in this material world.
Yeah, I was listening to my Guru Maharaj on the way up here, lecture, and he was speaking about Mohini Murthy, Lord Shiva, being attracted to Mohini Murthy. And he is sannyasi. He is strong sannyasi. He maintained his sannyas vows for a long time. So he was making that point also, And Prabhupada made that point, that if you can give up sex life, you just save yourself a lot of problems. Most of our problems in this world is because we're attached to sex life. Because we're attached to sex life, we're attached to the opposite sex. And because of attachment and association with the opposite sex, we cause ourselves a lot of problems. Prabhupada explains in the first canto, first chapter, first verse in the purport, he says that sex life is the active principle of the material world, the material creation. So the original sex life is called Adi Ras. Adi Ras means the original attraction. That's between Radha and Krishna. Now, just like on Julan Yatra, you'll see Radha and Krishna together on the Julan. That's the Julan just there. So you will see them come together. That is the original attraction. But what happens is that when we get cast into the material world through the glance of Mahavishnu, it is carried by Shambhu, which means Lord Shiva. And when we come into the material energy, then we become contaminated. And then we try to pervertedly imitate Radha and Krishna. Right? Instead of Radha and Krishna being on the swing, we want to be on the swing. Just like in India, when you get married, they put you on a swing, a julan. Right? And you sit there with your husband or your wife and they swing you and everyone goes, ah. And then you think, I am Radha, I am Krishna. That's actually what we're thinking. In this material world, we're thinking we are separate from Krishna. But actually, we're meant to serve Krishna. So that is the aspiration of the followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The aspiration of Lord Chaitanya's followers is what? To become the servant of Radha Krishna. To assist them. To allow them to enjoy. So, in the material world, we all have Purusha Bhav. What does Purusha Bhav mean? Purusha means the enjoyer, right? And Prakriti means the enjoyed. So we are Prakriti, but in the material world, we all think we are Purusha. And because we think we are Purusha, it's called Purusha Bhav. All of us have this mentality that we are the enjoyer, separate from Krishna. So as long as you think like that, you stay trapped in the material world. How do you get out of the material world? You do the opposite. Instead of thinking, I am the enjoyer, you think, I am to be enjoyed by Krishna. So we have to change that. That's the whole point of Julan Yatra. That's the whole point of this temple. That's the whole point of Janmashtami, a devotional service. The whole point of devotional service is just to think, I am the servant of Krishna. That's what Balaram's appearance day is for. Lord Balaram's appearance day is so we think, I am Krishna's servant. Because Lord Baladev is servitor Godhead, supreme personality of servitor Godhead. So he teaches us how to serve Krishna. That is the manifestation of Lord Chaitanya, of Lord Nityananda, of Lord Balaram. They're teaching us how to serve Krishna. So when we serve Krishna, then we give up our Purusha Bhav, and then we don't suffer anymore. Any points?
Yeah, dug up the well's edge. What is the exact meaning? In the translation, he wrote, dug up the well's edge. So what do you understand by digging
the well? He was digging, because the well goes straight down, so he dug a pathway so that the goat, she-goat, could come out of the well. So he wanted to get the she-goat out, so he had to dig like an angle so she could walk out and they could enjoy it together unlimitedly.
Thank you.
When the she-goat, who had very nice hips, got out of the well and saw the very handsome he-goat, she desired to accept him as her husband. When she did so, many other she-goats also desired him as their husband because he had a very beautiful bodily structure and a nice moustache and beard and was very expert in discharging semen and in the art of sexual intercourse. Therefore, just as a person haunted by a ghost exhibits madness, the best of the he-goats, attracted by the many she-goats engaged in erotic activities and naturally forgot his real business of self realization. Jamunalila.
Materialists are certainly very much attracted by sexual intercourse. Although one becomes a grihastha or householder, to enjoy sex life to his heart's content, one is never satisfied. Such a lusty materialist is like a goat, for it is said that if goats meant for slaughter get the opportunity, they enjoy sex before being killed. Human beings, however, are meant for self-realization. Tapo divyam putraka yena sattvam shuddhye yasma brahma saukhyam pranantam. Human life is meant for realization of the self, the spiritual soul within the body, devinosnam yatha dehe. A materialistic rascal does not know that he is not the body but a spiritual soul within the body. However, one should understand his real position and cultivate knowledge by which to get free from bodily entanglement. Like an unfortunate person who acts madly, haunted by ghosts, a materialist haunted by the ghost of lust forgets his real business so that he can enjoy so-called happiness in the bodily concept of life.
That's one of the points.
What is written in the translation is so true. That's what women are looking for, usually. A man who is very handsome and who is very good in satisfying them sexually. That is the whole this thing of condition and materials.
Yeah, both ways.
Yeah, other men also.
That is what is the driving force of illicit sex as well, which deviates the even married people to go out of the marriage life.
Any other point?
Nowadays, people are doing rape. In India, so much rape is going on.
Yeah.
Newspaper full of rapes.
Yeah, India's the most crazy. Yeah. It's more crazy than any other country, I think, actually. Where it is dangerous there now. So, Prabhupada is pointing out in the purport that we are meant for something higher. Tapo divyam. This is given by Rishabdev in the fifth canto. Rishabdev says you have to perform tapasya. And actually, I was reading this article by Shivaram Swami before. And Shivaram Swami was saying that, you know, devotees are meant to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. Prabhupada said the kids as well. He said the children are meant to get up at 4 in the morning. Prabhupada says that. He said everyone should go to Mangalati. So it means the kids have to go to bed early. 6:30, 7:30, or whatever it is. So it means we have to organize our lives in such a way that everyone rises early. And Prabhupada said this is tapasya. Yeah. Prabhupada said there's no meaning of being a human being without tapasya. There's no meaning of being a devotee without tapasya. You have to do austerity. If you want to advance in Krishna consciousness, you have to do some austerity. So, tapo divyam, brahma-sokyam. Brahma-sokyam means spiritual happiness. You can only get spiritual happiness and go to the platform of shuddha-sattva, or pure goodness, when you do austerity. But the austerity must be for Krishna's pleasure, tapo divya. Divya means transcendental. So what gives Krishna pleasure? How to understand what gives Krishna pleasure? You learn that through the instruction of the guru. So the guru instructs you, you serve Krishna like this, this will give Krishna pleasure. So Prabhupada says we have to get up early in the morning. We have to surrender to Krishna. If you can't do it the rest of the year, at least do it in Kartik Mas. Kartik will come soon, in another 2 months. So already in my mind, I'm making my plans for Kartik. What vows will I take? What will I do? How will I serve Krishna? Because the nature of the material world, of household life, of material existence, is that it pulls us down. So when Kartik comes, you make a plan to pull yourself back up. You do some austerity to give Krishna pleasure, satisfaction. And by doing that, then you purify your consciousness and you lift yourself up. Now, Prabhupada also says in the purport that we must cultivate transcendental knowledge. This is how we lift ourselves up in the material world. That's why we have these courses. That's why we hear and chant regularly. You must cultivate knowledge continuously. You must always be reading. And you must find ways to challenge yourself as you become a devotee for a longer period of time. Because you see quite often, when devotees have been around for a long time, they become disenthused and they leave Krishna consciousness, or they slacken their commitment to Krishna consciousness. You see, I mean, you look around the temple, how many old devotees do you see? Well, there's not many actually, right? Like, I remember my guru, Tamal Krishna Maharaj, he was at a program in London, in England, and it was actually a reunion of Prabhupada. So this is when he was on the planet, so it's going back, you know, 15 years or so. So he was at a reunion for Prabhupada disciples. And I remember he said, I was listening to the lecture, and he said that Prabhupada initiated 300 or 400 devotees in England. I think that's what he said. It was a lot. I don't know how many, but it was a lot. 300 or 400 Prabhupada initiated in England. And there was only 30 or 40 disciples at the reunion.
Mm-hmm.
So that means hundreds were not there. You know. So why is it devotees cannot maintain their enthusiasm over a longer period of time? Because to stay enthused for decades on end, you know, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, 60 years as a devotee, you have to challenge yourself. You have to find new ways to challenge yourself and become inspired. And I know for myself, you know, the way I become inspired, I mean, many ways in Krishna consciousness, but one of the main ways is what I read. That's what keeps me going. So I'm always thinking, when I'm reading, what am I going to read next? What's my next book? So I'm reading at the moment one particular book, which is giving me a lot of inspiration. And already, because I'm getting near the end, I'm thinking, okay, what's the next one I'm reading? So you have to continuously challenge yourself and inspire yourself and go deeper in Krishna consciousness and go higher in Krishna consciousness, right? And understand the philosophy more deeply. Then you'll always remain enthused in devotional service. Therefore, Prabhupada gave so much emphasis on reading his books and studying his books. And then you'll always be enthused. You won't lose enthusiasm. And I see myself, because, you know, all of us counsel devotees. You know, devotees come to us, right? Devotees come to me and they ask me questions and they ask for guidance and inspiration. All of us, the same. Devotees come to you and they ask for guidance and inspiration like that. And I notice devotees quite often who are having problems are the devotees who are not reading Prabhupada's books. They're not reading regularly. I notice that. Now, I notice devotees who don't read or study regularly or hear regularly, they get very mental. Do devotees still have this saying in ISKCON? When I joined, we used to always say that this person is mental. Do you still say it? Not said so much. Yeah, I don't think he said that. But when I joined, everyone used to say that. Oh, he's mental. Or she's mental. You know, because means the mind is going crazy. You know, these days, maybe we don't see it like that. But you see, some devotees have a lot of problem with their mind. And when you speak to them, you say, you know, what's the problem? And they start telling you all this. And then after a while, you say, are you reading anything? Are you hearing anything? Are you listening to any lectures? Do you go to classes? Do you listen to lectures? And then quite often devotees say no. And you say, no wonder your mind's crazy. No. If you're not hearing regularly, your mind will give you hell. It will make your life very difficult. So when you hear and chant about Krishna regularly, then your mind becomes peaceful and you don't have so many problems in devotional service. And actually, a devotee should be advanced so he doesn't have to continuously go to other devotees and ask for guidance. We should all become like that. You know, sometimes you go, you know, something very important. You know, like with my Shiksha gurus, like Burujan Prabhu, like that. I don't go to him very often. You know, maybe a few times a year I'll ask him something because I need some guidance. Most of the time I should know myself what to do. I should, you know, I know the answers. I know what to do. I know how to live my life. I know how to serve Krishna. And then occasionally some big thing comes up and then you consult. What should I do? Like that. It shouldn't be. We should become advanced enough that we can maintain devotional service. We don't have to be going to the senior devotees all the time. Okay. Any points? Okay. When the she-goat who had fallen into the well saw her beloved goat engaged in sexual affairs with another she-goat, she could not tolerate the goat's activities. Aggrieved by her husband's behavior with another, the she-goat thought that the he-goat was not actually her friend, but was hard-hearted and was her friend only for the time being. Therefore, because her husband was lusty, she left him and returned to her former maintainer. So Meenakshi, I like to read them.
The word Swaminam is significant. Swami means caretaker or master. Devayani was cared for by Shukracharya before her marriage, and after her marriage she was cared for by Yayati. But here the word Swaminam indicates that Devayani left the protection of her husband Yayati and returned to her former protector, Shukracharya. Vedic civilization recommends that a woman stay under the protection of a man. During childhood, she should be cared for by her father, in youth by a husband, and in old age by a grown son. In any stage of life, a woman should not have independence.
So, any points?
No independence for wife, for women.
Nothing. They should not have anything. They should be completely obedient to their husbands all the time. Any other points? So, Prabhupada points out this word Swami. What does Swami mean?
Master.
Master, what else does it mean? It means husband, like that. So it means like the husband, the protector, the master. So the point is that everyone in this world needs a Swami, whether you're a man or a woman. You need a Swami. That's why we get initiated. You need a guru. You need someone to control your mind. Someone to direct your mind. So the husband can do that. The wife can do it also. The wife's service to the husband is also to help him control his mind. Bhakti Vijayapurna Maharaj, he gave a lecture one time, I was listening, and he said, the duty of the wife is to stop the husband going backwards. And the duty of the husband is to take the wife forwards. Because the husband, men generally have stronger sex desire. So the wife's duty is to stop the husband going back. Because he may want to fall down more often. So then the wife, her duty is, no, I will protect you. That is her duty, stop them from going back. And the husband's duty is to make them go forward. Because sometimes the husband's more...
Tejiyam.
He should be the Tejiyam. In Dada Muni's past, he had written that the husband should be Tejiyam. He should be the spiritually potent person, like powerful in the house, so that he can lead the house. Yeah. I mean, that's ideal. That's ideal. We see in Kali Yuga, it's no longer so much... I wouldn't say so much, but it's not always like that. Sometimes the wife's the more enthusiastic person. Sometimes she is. Sometimes she virtually takes the family back. The wife is really determined. The husband says, okay, and he follows. So, the point is that they should cooperate together, but we need a Swami. Swami means a master. Sometimes the wife becomes like the Swami. Sometimes the husband. But regardless of who it is, everyone needs a Swami. And ultimately, it means we need a spiritual master. The wife, in a traditional system, the wife is attached to the husband and the husband is attached to the guru. And if that's the system, everyone will go back to Godhead. So the husband should not be attached to the wife, Prabhupada says like that. Although no husband is like that, all the husbands are attached to their wives. But actually, he should be so advanced, he's not attached to his wife, he's attached to the guru. And because she's attached to him, everyone goes back to Godhead. That's the system. Okay. Any other points?
And Vedika, there was one mention in our Bhagavata lecture that because if sex life can give us pleasure and happiness, then the prostitute should be the most happiest and satisfied person in the world. And that is not true. So we should concentrate on this thing and then we should make the plans.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's what gyan means. Gyan means analysis or concentration. We should become gyanis. Means we analyze things, we concentrate. Sankhya means to analyze and understand what they are. Lord Shiva says, the women's breast, because the man is most attached to the women's breast. Right? So, Lord Shiva says, the man should meditate, the women's breast is a bag of blood. And if he meditates like that, he'll become detached. And Lord Shiva says you should think like that again and again in the material world. So if we contemplate these things, then we'll become detached. But ultimately, you have to get a higher taste. That's more powerful. Bhakti is more powerful than dhyana. Any other point? Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.